For our next scripture reading, we'll go back to the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 29 through 51. In our call to worship today, you heard Jerry reading from a portion of Psalm 18, and David takes up that psalm and uses it a lot here in this passage, 2 Samuel 22, I'll start with verse 29. You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is he who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. I pursued my enemies and crushed them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them completely and they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them, to the Lord, but he did not answer. I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I pounded and trampled them like the mud in the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of my people. You have preserved me as the head of nations. People I did not know are subject to me, and foreigners come cringing to me. As soon as they hear me, they obey me. They all lose heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, the rock, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who puts the nations under me, who sets me free from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From violent men you rescued me. Therefore, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Let us pray. God, your word is perfect and flawless. Your word is light. We pray now that wherever there's darkness in our hearts, our minds, our lives, our church, that the light of your word will come and dispel it and scatter it. We trust now in the power of your word, your saving power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We recently had someone from SMECO come and move one of the lights here on our property from one light pole to another so we could better distribute some of our light. And I don't know if you noticed it or not, but the fixture on it is different from what's often been used and what we're accustomed to, partly because it's designed to reduce light pollution, which can interfere with natural cycles or inhibit our ability to see more clearly stars, planets, things in the sky. It reminds me sort of an experience that we had a few years ago when our family was hosting some exchange students from Japan, and as their visit with us started to come to a close, we asked them, is there anything else that you'd like to do or see while you're still here in the area with us? And sort of surprisingly said, yeah, we'd like to go see some stars. See, they lived in an urban area of Japan where the light pollution was so strong, it was hard to really see the sky at night and what it contained. So out in the fields of southern Maryland, they got to do something that they often didn't or usually didn't get to do, to gaze at the stars and the planets. It was amazing just to watch them in amazement themselves, to see what we often take for granted because of our ability to look at a sky in that way. In our urbanized, industrialized societies, we're able to use artificial light to dispel the darkness. But it was a very different story if you had lived in the ancient Near East in that kind of experience. Israel had no smeko to call upon to install lighting for businesses or homes or streets or anything like that. You were very reliant upon lamps, particularly oil lamps that were very popular in residences, including the king's residence, as we hear in today's scripture passage. Often a lamp was your best bet. No wonder that David, like many other voices in scripture, compares light, or a lamp in this case, to the power and presence of God. "You are my lamp, O Lord," says David. "The Lord turns my darkness into light." This is part of a psalm often attributed to King David. In fact, all of 2 Samuel 22, like I mentioned a few moments ago, is David's song of praise. It's a royal psalm of thanksgiving where he offers praise to God for deliverance from his enemies. The chapter's opening verse says, "David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." So David's lyrics in this scripture passage are full of images of threat and rescue. He compares the saving action of God to many things like being plucked out of deep and dangerous waters, or being snatched from the grave, or like light that comes in and scatters the darkness. These are some of the images that he comes and uses in this passage. It's no matter which imagery, though, that David uses to describe God's saving action, David continually stresses that it was the Lord's doing, not his own, not his own power, not his own strength, not his own self-deliverance, but the Lord's deliverance. The opening lines of David's tune really set the tone, and they center the message. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my Savior. God is my Savior. This is the great theme, I think, here in this scripture passage, David's psalm of praise. God is my Savior. It's a musical confession of faith that goes to the heart of who we believe God is and what God does and how God works in our lives, the very character and purpose of God. God is the one who saves, a God who saves. And this God who saves is revealed to us most fully in Jesus Christ, in whom God has acted to rescue us, deliver us, save us from the power of sin and of death. Christ's death for our sins, his resurrection from the dead, are God's way of snatching us out of the power of sin and death and bringing us into the freedom of the life of the world to come. God is our Savior. Like you heard in the scripture and Don's children's sermon today, all those who call upon the Lord shall be saved. God as Savior, deliverer. It's no wonder then that we, like David, sing words of praise ourselves about deliverance. Words like some of those we used in our hymn earlier in the service today. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Savior divine. God our Savior. One of the reasons that we sing to God as Savior is because it helps keep hope alive. Hope for us as individuals. Hope for us as the community of God's people in Christ. It helps keep hope alive. And hope is what sustains us, particularly when we're facing circumstances that seem to, at least on the surface, deny the reality of God's sovereign love and his saving power in the world. Theologian Karl Barth described the Christian perspective on life this way. He said, it's a defiant nevertheless. Defiant nevertheless goes to the heart of the Christian attitude toward life. And that means maintaining and cultivating the conviction that though there is much evidence before us to the contrary in our lives, in the lives of others, in the life of the world, we still maintain and cultivate our conviction and our faith that God's faithfulness and sovereignty will not fail, and that those who are in Christ will be part of God's restored and redeemed creation where justice and peace prevail. This ongoing confidence in God's saving love and sovereignty, even in the face of circumstances that on the surface appear to deny that, we reaffirm that when we come together and sing and praise. Now, that's something worth singing about, whether those singers are David, God's people Israel, or whether it's us with our open hymn books here today, as every Sunday, singing in praise to God as we're here together. You are my lamp, O Lord. You are my lamp. You turn my darkness into light. That's the way it's rendered in David's song. Back in Psalm 18, which, as I mentioned, David is using here, it's slightly different. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. I've often used at least portions of that psalm in different kinds of circumstances with many kinds of people who were in situations where it looked like darkness was winning out over light. Hospitals, nursing homes, rehab centers, the family room or the kitchen table, the waiting room or other places where the Word of God needs to come, the counseling room, the funeral home, the graveside. I've been with many of you. You've been with me in times and circumstances where we needed to remember and reclaim those precious words of praise. The Lord is my lamp. He turns my darkness into light. I shared a portion of that psalm earlier this week with Bill Adams when he's there in his hospital bed. The Lord is my rock, my strength, my deliverer. From God comes my salvation. The Lord is my lamp. The Lord turns my darkness into light. Divine light in the midst of deep darkness. These precious words of divine rescue. The late film director Stanley Kubrick once described his view of life this way. He said, "The very meaninglessness of life forces man to create his own meaning. The most terrifying fact about the universe is not that it's hostile, but that it's indifferent. However vast the darkness, we must supply our own light." Now, King David, in our psalm today, and in this passage from 2 Samuel, says something very different. He doesn't say that we need to supply our own light. That's not how it works. He says, the Lord is my lamp. God is my light. We don't have to supply it. God is it. You're my lamp, O Lord. For the faithful, there's no confusing the source of our life, our light, our hope. It doesn't come from us. We don't have to supply our own light in the darkness. The Lord is that. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. He's the one to whom the praise and the gratitude flow. There's a set of authors who sort of imagine the following scenario. Imagine that you're on an ocean liner and you fall overboard. You're there in the ocean, about to drown. One of the other passengers takes a life preserver and throws it over into you in the water there. And just as you're about to drown, you manage to grab hold of the life preserver. Eventually, they pull you back up onto deck and you cough all the water out of your lungs. Folks are gathered around you anticipating, you know, if you're going to be okay, what you might say once you're able to speak words again. And they imagine, would you say, wow, did you see how I managed to grab hold of that life preserver? Did you notice my dexterity, the definition in my biceps, the agility of my wrists, as I really took hold of that. Is that what you'd probably be saying? Probably not. You'd probably be trying to find the person who threw the life preserver to you and give them thanks. I hear King David doing that kind of thing in our scripture passage here today, not drawing attention to himself about how he has cooperated in God's rescue effort, but how God is the focus, the life preserver, the one to whom gratitude is due. That's the primary thing David is doing in his song of praise. And he and his song direct our attention, not so much to him, not so much to ourselves, but primarily to the Lord. You are my lamp, O Lord, not I myself. You, O Lord, not I myself, are the one who turns my darkness into light. Now that doesn't mean, though, that there's nothing for you to do. Faith is the way that God's saving power becomes effective in your life and accomplishes what God wants to accomplish in your life. And not just faith in an abstract, theoretical sense, but in a concrete sense of faith that takes the form of attitude, takes the form of action. Even though the Lord is your light, there are things really that you need to do in your own life and experience to keep that lamp burning, like prayer, scripture, worship, fellowship, ministry to others and to the world. In other words, you can't just sit back and wait passively for God to hand you the victory day in and day out. There are things that you need to be doing to participate in the battle and to claim this victory and to participate in how God is working to dispel whatever darkness is in your life and whatever darkness is in the lives of other people. Faith is crucial in the whole experience. But as you do so, know and remember that such hope and such kind of faith are only possible because God doesn't save us from a distance, but by coming to us, we're told, most of all in Christ, to bring us light in our darkness, to be with us and for us in the midst of the darkness. In other words, God doesn't, from a distance, ship us a flashlight and say, here, I hope this helps. And remember, there aren't any batteries included, so you're going to have to take care of that yourself. That's not the way God's saving power works, we're told in Christ. No, we're told that in Christ, God steps into the darkness with us to light the way out and show us the way to freedom in Christ. In his book titled Grace, Max Lucado looks back to 2010, when some of you may remember the incident with the miners in Chile who were trapped below at least 2,000 feet of solid rock. And up there on the surface, all kinds of plans were being made round the clock about how to try to rescue them. On October 13, 2010, the men began to emerge, some of them slapping high fives, cheering. One was like a 19-year-old, another was a 44-year-old, another was a grandfather, in all kinds of different circumstances and stages of their lives. All of them had different stories, but as Lucado points out, they had all made the same decision, and that is, we cannot get ourselves out of here by ourselves. If we're going to get out of here, it's because somebody's going to have to come into this world where we are and get us out. Rescue us. As Lucado puts it, no one returned the rescue offer with a declaration of independence by saying, I can get myself out of here. Just give me a new drill. That's not the way it happened. Instead, it was the recognition of needing help. We need someone to penetrate this world and pull us out of our darkness in whatever forms it takes. And when the device came, the capsule came, they climbed in. Now, as surely as we are here today, still singing in different ways our various songs of deliverance, know that this morning the saving power of God is strong enough and determined enough to penetrate whatever darkness you find yourself in whatever circumstances right now, in whatever forms it takes, strong enough and determined enough to penetrate your darkness and to work to pull you out. That doesn't mean a life free of sorrow and suffering and trouble. It doesn't mean always a divine intervention above that removes all the pain and the problems and the suffering. It doesn't really mean that, but it does mean that in the midst of your own circumstances, however dark they may seem and whatever form they're taking, maybe illness or grief or depression or guilt, chronic pain, mental illness, bullying, financial loss, conflict, abuse, abandonment, or anything else that appears to be ready to snuff out the light and destroy your hope. Know, as our scripture reminds us here today, that the Lord is still in the business of turning darkness into light. Whatever you face, wherever you're at right now, whatever the circumstances, he's still in the business of turning darkness into light. Gardner Taylor, he's a prominent preacher. I believe he's deceased now, but he once talked about how in his early years of ministry, which were during the Depression, he was preaching in different parts of Louisiana. And he was in one little church. Remember, this is area, territory where electricity was just starting to come into existence for a lot of folks. And he was preaching at this small rural black church, and all they had was one little light bulb hanging down from the ceiling. And as he was preaching away as strong as he could, the power went out. And there they sat in the dark. He wasn't sure at first what to do, being a young man in the ministry, but he sort of fumbled around and tried to go on his own and do the best that he could. He sort of stumbled around until one elderly deacon in the back of the church finally cried out, "Preach on, preacher. We can still see Jesus in the dark. We can still see Jesus in the dark." Indeed, that may often be when we see Jesus the most, is when we're in the dark, whatever it is in our lives, when it's awfully dark. You may be sitting here this morning in this fully and completely lit sanctuary, thanks to SMECO. Sitting here in this fully and completely lit sanctuary, and yet find yourself facing circumstances that seem overpoweringly dark and threatening and hopeless in some way or another. But you need to remember and recall and rejoice in, as David himself does here in our scripture passage today, that the Lord is there in that darkness. The Lord is there in that darkness. The Lord is there to be your lamp. The Lord is there to be your lamp, to turn your darkness into light. Let's pray. O Lord, you are our lamp. You turn our darkness into light. Thank you that you don't try to save us from a distance, but in Christ you have come to us, entered into our darkness to forgive us and set us free and to bring us into your light and lives built on your faithfulness, your sovereignty. Thank you that though there may be circumstances in our lives and in the world that seem to deny your promises, your faithfulness, your power, that we can come here and again today reaffirm our faith, that you are sovereign Savior. And whatever circumstances we face now in our own lives, however dark they may seem, help us to trust that you are with us and that you will bring light and that you will show us a way forward in hope. Through Christ we pray. Amen.